Chapter 12. Mrs. Dale, a little breathless.
Yes, yes, Ventnor, till you sent me from you, Mrs. Dale, it's so easy to be heroic when one is young. One doesn't realize how long life is going to last afterward.
Musing.
Nor what weary work it is gathering up the fragments. Ventnor, but the time comes when one sends for the china mender, and has the bits riveted together, and turns the cracked side to the wall, Mrs. Dale, and denies that the article was ever damaged?
Ventnor, eh?
Well, the great thing, you see, is to keep oneself out of reach of the housemaid's brush.
A pause.
If you're married, you can't always.
Smiling.
Don't you hate to be taken down and dusted?
Mrs. Dale, with intention,
you forget how long ago my husband died. It's 15 years since I've been an object of interest to anybody but the public.
Ventnor, smiling,
the only one of your admirers to whom you've ever given the least encouragement.
Mrs. Dale, say rather the most easily pleased.
Ventnor, are the only one you cared to please.
Mrs. Dale, ah, you haven't kept my letters.
Ventnor, gravely, is that a challenge?
Look here, then.
He drams a packet from his pocket and holds it out to her.
Mrs. Dale, taking the packet and looking at him earnestly, why have you brought me these?
Ventnor, I didn't bring them. They came because I came, that's all.
Tentatively.
Are we unwelcome?
Mrs. Dale, who has undone the packet, and does not appear to hear him,
the very first I ever wrote you the day after we met at the concert.
How on earth did you happen to keep it?
She glances over it.
How perfectly absurd.
Well, it's not a compromising document.
Ventnor, I'm afraid none of them are.
Mrs. Dale, quickly,
is it true that they owe their immunity?
Because one could leave them about like safety matches?
Ah, here's another I remember I wrote, that the day after we went skating together for the first time.
She reads it slowly.
How odd. How very odd.
Ventnor, what?
Mrs. Dale, why, it's the most curious thing. I had a letter of this kind to do the other day, in the novel I'm at work on now, the letter of a woman who is just beginning.
Ventnor, yes, just beginning.
Mrs. Dale, and, do you know, I find the best phrase in it, the phrase I somehow regarded as the fruit of, well, of all my subsequent discoveries, is simply plagiarized, word for word, from this.
Ventnor, eagerly, I told you so.
You were all there.
Mrs. Dale, critically, but the rest of it's poorly done, very poorly.
Reads the letter over.
H'M, I didn't know how to leave off. It takes me forever to get out of the door.
Ventnor, gaily,
perhaps I was there to prevent you.
After a pause.
I wonder what I said in return?
Mrs. Dale, interested,
shall we look?
She rises.
Shall we really? I have them all here, you know.
She goes toward the cabinet.
Ventnor,
following her with repressed eagerness.
Oh, all. Mrs. Dale
throws open the door of the cabinet, revealing a number of packets.
Don't you believe me now?
Ventnor, good heavens.
How I must have repeated myself.
But then you were so very deaf.
Mrs. Dale
takes out a packet and returns to her seat. Ventnor extends an impatient hand for the letters.
No, no, wait. I want to find your answer to the one I was just reading.
After a pause.
Here it is, yes, I thought so.
Ventnor, what did you think?
Mrs. Dale,
triumphantly,
I thought it was the one in which you quoted Epipsychidion.
Ventnor, mercy.
Did I quote things?
I don't wonder you were cruel.
Mrs. Dale, ah, and here's the other, the one I didn't answer for a long time.
Do you remember?
Ventnor,
with emotion,
do I remember?
I wrote it the morning after we heard Isolde.
Mrs. Dale,
disappointed.
No, no. That wasn't the one I didn't answer. Here, this is the one I mean.
Ventnor
takes it curiously.
H'M, this is very like unrolling a mummy.
He glances at her,
with a live grain of wheat in it,
perhaps?
Oh, by Jove!
Mrs. Dale, what?
Ventnor, why, this is the one I made a sonnet out of afterward.
By Jove, I'd forgotten where that idea came from.
You may know the lines, perhaps? They're in the fourth volume of my complete edition. It's the thing beginning. Love came to me with unrelenting eyes. One of my best, I rather fancy. Of course, here it's very crudely put. The values aren't brought out. This touch is good, though very good. H'M, I dare say there might be other material.
He glances toward the cabinet.
Mrs. Dale, dryly, the live grain of wheat, as you said. Ventnor, well, my first harvest was sown on rocky ground. Now I plant for the fowls of the air.
Rising and walking toward the cabinet.
When can I come and carry off all this rubbish? Mrs. Dale, carry it off?
Ventnor, embarrassed,
my dear lady, surely between you and me explicitness is a burden. You must see that these letters of ours can't be left to take their chance like an ordinary correspondence. You said yourself we were public property. Mrs. Dale, to take their chance? Do you suppose that, in my keeping, your letters take any chances?
Suddenly.
Do mine in yours? Ventnor,
still more embarrassed,
Helen.
He takes a turn through the room.
You force me to remind you that you and I are differently situated, that in a moment of madness I sacrificed the only right you ever gave me, the right to love you better than any other woman in the world.
A pause. She says nothing and he continues, with increasing difficulty,
you asked me just now why I carried your letters about with me, kept them, literally, in my own hands. Well, suppose it's to be sure of their not falling into someone else's? Mrs. Dale, oh.
Ventnor throws himself into a chair.
For God's sake, don't pity me. Mrs. Dale,
after a long pause,
am I dull, or are you trying to say that you want to give me back my letters?
Ventnor, starting up,
I give you back? God forbid. Your letters? Not for the world. The only thing I have left. But you can't dream that in my hands, Mrs. Dale.
Suddenly,
you want yours, then?
Ventnor, repressing his eagerness.
My dear friend, if I'd ever dreamed that you'd kept them? Mrs. Dale,
accusingly,
you do want them.
A pause. He makes a deprecatory gesture.
Why should they be less safe with me than mine with you? I never forfeited the right to keep them.
Ventnor, after another pause,
it's compensation enough, almost, to have you reproach me.
He moves nearer to her, but she makes no response.
You forget that I've forfeited all my rights, even that of letting you keep my letters. Mrs. Dale, you do want them.
She rises, throws all the letters into the cabinet, locks the door and puts the key in her pocket.
There's my answer. Ventnor, Helen. Mrs. Dale, I paid dearly enough for the right to keep them, and I mean to.
She turns to him passionately.
Have you ever asked yourself how I paid for it? With what months and years of solitude, what indifference to flattery, what resistance to affection. Oh, don't smile because I said affection, and not love. Affection's a warm cloak in cold weather, and I have been cold. And I shall keep on growing colder. Don't talk to me about living in the hearts of my readers. We both know what kind of a domicile that is. Why, before long I shall become a classic. Bound in sets and kept on the top bookshelf, BRR, doesn't that sound freezing? I foresee the day when I shall be as lonely as an Etruscan museum.
She breaks into a laugh.
That's what I've paid for the right to keep your letters.
She holds out her hand.
And now give me mine. Ventnor, yours? Mrs. Dale,
haughtily,
yes, I claim them.
Ventnor, in the same tone,
on what ground? Mrs. Dale, hear the man. Because I wrote them, of course. Ventnor, but it seems to me that under your inspiration, I admit I also wrote mine. Mrs. Dale, oh, I don't dispute their authenticity, it's yours I deny. Ventnor, mine? Mrs. Dale, you voluntarily ceased to be the man who wrote me those letters, you've admitted as much. You traded paper for flesh and blood. I don't dispute your wisdom, only you must hold to your bargain. The letters are all mine.
Ventnor, groping between two tones,
your arguments are as convincing as ever.
He hazards a faint laugh.
You're a marvelous dialectician, But, if we're going to settle the matter in the spirit of an arbitration treaty, why, there are accepted conventions in such cases. It's an odious way to put it, but since you won't help me, one of them is, Mrs. Dale, one of them is? Ventnor, that it is usual that technically, I mean, the letter belongs to its writer, Mrs. Dale.
After a pause, such letters as these?
Ventnor, such letters especially, Mrs. Dale, but you couldn't have written them if I hadn't been willing to read them. Surely there's more of myself in them than of you. Ventnor, surely there's nothing in which a man puts more of himself than in his love letters. Mrs. Dale,
with emotion,
but a woman's love letters are like her child. They belong to her more than to anybody else, Ventnor, and a man's? Mrs. Dale,
with sudden violence,
are all he risks. There, take them.
She flings the key of the cabinet at his feet, and sinks into a chair.
Ventnor
starts as though to pick up the key, then approaches and bends over her.
Helen, oh, Helen. Mrs. Dale,
she yields her hands to him, murmuring.
Paul.
Suddenly she straightens herself and draws back illuminated.
What a fool I am. I see it all now. You want them for your memoirs.
Ventnor, disconcerted.
Helen, Mrs. Dale,
agitated.
Come, come, the rule is to unmask when the signal's given. You want them for your memoirs.
Ventnor, with a forced laugh.
What makes you think so? Mrs. Dale,
triumphantly.
Because I want them for mine.
Ventnor, in a changed tone.
Ah.
He moves away from her, and leans against the mantelpiece. She remains seated, with her eyes fixed on him.
Mrs. Dale, I wonder I didn't see it sooner. Your reasons were lame enough.
Ventnor, ironically,
yours were masterly. You're the more accomplished actor of the two. I was completely deceived. Mrs. Dale, oh, I'm a novelist. I can keep up that sort of thing for 500 pages. Ventnor, I congratulate you.
A pause.
Mrs. Dale, moving to her seat behind the tea table, I've never offered you any tea.
She bends over the kettle.
Why don't you take your letters? Ventnor, because you've been clever enough to make it impossible for me.
He picks up the key and hands it to her. Then abruptly,
was it all acting just now? Mrs. Dale, by what right do you ask?
Ventnor, by right of renouncing my claim to my letters.
Keep them and tell me. Mrs. Dale, I give you back your claim, and I refuse to tell you.
Ventnor, sadly,
ah, Helen, if you deceived me, you deceived yourself also. Mrs. Dale, what does it matter, now that we're both undeceived? I played a losing game, that's all.
Ventnor, why losing, since all the letters are yours?
Mrs. Dale, the letters?
Slowly.
I'd forgotten the letters. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.